When you understand the things of God, then you begin to see a lot of profit. When you understand the word, what it means to you as a believer and to a church in general, you begin to benefit. When you don't know, you perish. Anything that dominates the thought of a man, you get it. So, meaning that you need to have the right thought about something. But when you seek his government first, his rule first, his interest first, we can know the interest of God from the written word. We can know what he's putting first. You are most welcome for our Eureka Kingdom time. It's a time for the word. The word of God provides kingdom solutions for life demands. Praise God. Say kingdom solutions for life demands. You know, life puts demands on us. You need to know that. Praise God. So you need to be equipped with answers. You need to understand how to handle situations. The reason why we come to church to listen to the word, apart from fellowshipping, apart from worshiping God, but he instructs us through the word. Praise God. Church, let me tell you this. Nothing will change your life unless you allow the word of God to change your life. Nothing. Nothing. The moment you try to bring change into your life, to bring change in your life without the word, you will be gambling. And me, I'm not comfortable in the area of gambling. Don't be comfortable in that. Don't try. Believe. So we are looking at a very important subject. Causing your breakthrough to happen. Praise God. Causing your breakthrough to happen. Causing your advancement to happen. Causing your forward leap to occur. You see, in life, we come across obstacles. We come across roadblocks. I'm telling you. You come against forces that does not want you to pass and go to your next level. You come across many gates in life that says no. There's no passage for you. Beyond this point, you cannot pass. Like you find them writing it in some places. No entry beyond this point. No, you have to have special permission. So life is like that. There are different forces. Some of them are visible, some of them are invisible. That stands on your way. But let me tell you, because you have Christ, you will always have a breakthrough. Yeah. Praise God. Now, the following are required for you to have a breakthrough. The following, I want you to take note. Number one, trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. Depend on him. You know, sometimes people find it hard to trust God because they have had experiences in life where many times people have failed them, and they carry that to their relationship with God, that will God really not fail me? God won't fail you. Praise God. He won't fail you. So you have, number one, you have to trust God. Now, Isaiah 26 verse number 3 gives us some insight, gives us some information that can show us how important trust is. Isaiah 26 verse number 3, New Living Translation. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Praise God. So, there are three requirements if you are to cause your breakthrough to happen. You are to cause it. You see, church, a lot depends on us. We can cause our breakthrough to happen. When we have reached a point where we cannot pass, no passage, you can cause your breakthrough to happen. Number one, you just continue trusting in God. Trusting in, believing that what he promises is able to deliver. Praise God. Trust is connected to faith. Faith is being sure that what God says is able to do. It's trusting, it's being sure that what he says he can do, he'll do it for you. Praise God. Now when you look at this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Let me tell you, one of the ways of causing your faith to be strong in a way that will give you a breakthrough is to fix your thoughts on God. Your thoughts are your considerations. What, in the time of challenges, it matters a lot where your thought is fixed. If your thought is fixed on the problem, that problem is not likely to go away. Breakthrough becomes a struggle. But when you shift your thought to God, his bigness, and the fact that nothing can limit him, and on the fact that you have a savior that he has put on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, which is, the universe is a mind-boggling creation of God. You can never exhaust it. From galaxies to governments, when you look at him, the bigness of that God, the power that God has, your faith level goes up. Because God honors faith, your faith levels goes up. But if you focus on the problem, on the impossibilities, your faith level goes down. As they say, a big percentage of what contribute to our successes, the way you look at life, the way you look at situation, is attitude, really. Attitude. Still it is of the mind. Your thoughts is of the mind. Let me tell you, people have not known. They look for change. They want miracles. They want so many things. But let me tell you, change starts from the heart, your mind, your center, the center of your being. The center of your being. Some translation put it as heart. Both spiritual and physical, the heart is a serious thing, is the center of your life. The heart, your mind, your thoughts. People are let down by their thoughts. I'm telling you the truth. And that's why it is so important. It matters a lot what you keep listening to. In time of trouble, who do you go to for advice? Where do you run first? First, run to your knees. Go to your knees. Go on your knees. Run to God. Then look for godly counsel and people to stand with. If you don't, you begin to gamble. If you don't, you begin to gamble. One time, I needed money urgently, and it was a very critical situation. I said, God, my life is in your hand. Borrowing can never sustain me. And even in this case, I have nowhere to borrow it from. And after a short time, I just moved by faith. I moved by faith. Critical moment. And I saw an alert on my phone. And I received on my phone beyond what I needed. I had to go and get it from the bank. I received an alert. What I never expected, God proved himself. The Lord will prove himself in your case. He will. I did not even worry, and I said, God, my My life is in your hand. I did not worry. When I did that, I just moved like nothing impossible is on my way. I forgot about the impossibility. I forgot about it. Let me tell you, the moment you are stuck and you begin to run up and down for help, you will multiply your problems. You run up and down to borrow, you multiply your problems. I'm telling you, because you will never sustain your life by borrowing. You can only, it is God who can sustain you. Without a burden, you won't feel the, without, he does not feel the burden. People will feel the burden. Praise God. In fact, don't wonder so much why sometimes a lot of challenges come to you. Don't wonder. You are meant to deal with God. You are meant to work with God. You are meant to depend on God, because he's not exhausted. You cannot exhaust him. You cannot. And you see, when the moment you trust him, peace comes. And peace in an assurance that all is well. All is well. In spite of what is going on, all is well. Now look at Isaiah 30 verse number 15. I'm reading from Message Bible because it puts it very well also. God the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly effort to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me. The very thing you have been unwilling to do. Very interesting. You see, God sent Isaiah to these people and said, look, external enemies are coming and you are busy running up and down. You want to save yourselves. They were facing Babylonians. He said, you trust, turn back to me. You have walked away from me. You no longer trust in me. You see, it was telling them here, your deliverance, your breakthrough in this kind of situation you are in, and the strength you need, the help you need, will come down when you settle down in complete dependence on me, in complete trust. If you trust in me, you will have your breakthrough. Praise God. May you begin trusting in God, and may he grant you a breakthrough. I know you could be at a certain point now. You are at a gate. You want to go, but the gate is locked. God will give you a breakthrough in Jesus' name. God just wants to release some of you who are standing at a point, at a roadblock in life. He wants to release you to move forward. It's just not an ordinary message. I asked God, he gave me to tell you that your season for a breakthrough has come. What you need is to trust in him. Depend on him. Don't look elsewhere. Look at him. And I'm talking of breakthrough in different areas. In marriage, in business, in career, in your workplace, in your family, in your marriage, in the lives of your children. Believe God for a breakthrough. Praise God. These people were unwilling to do that. You see, sometimes when you look at yourself, you look at you depend on your effort. You don't yield to God. These fellows were unyielding. They thought they needed help from other. They could hire other people to help them, to defend them, to protect them. Praise God. Stop looking at things the way you have been looking at it. Look at it from my point of view. Change your mind. In repentance and rest is your salvation, your deliverance, your breakthrough comes when you change your mind and you begin to trust in me. In quietness and trust is your strength. When you settle down and you trust me to handle the situation for you, I will save you. I'll give you the breakthrough you're looking for. Praise God. So we don't have to be like these people. They refused to trust, and the Babylonian carried them away. They were carried away. But in this season, as you come to the close of the year, the Lord will grant you your breakthrough in Jesus' name. Number two, you must win the battle of the mind. If you are to have a breakthrough, you must win the battle of the mind. You must win the battle of the mind. People don't know that by the time victory occurs on the outside, victory has taken place in the inside. By the time you lose the battle on the outside, you lost it first in your mind. You know, I wish God's people can know. We talk a lot of spiritual warfare. I think we need to begin to focus on the mind warfare. The mind warfare is a part of the spiritual war. It's so serious. The mind warfare. So you must win the battle in the mind. You know what causes the word of God not to work in the lives of many people? It is because of their mind. They have lost the battle there. You know, the place that the devil attacks in a human's life, apart from attacking you in the body, before he even attacks you in the body, he attacks your mind. He attacks your mind. The devil goes for your mind. Even when he has put some affliction on your body, he uses it to keep that affliction there. He uses your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. New Living Translation. Let's look at this kind of warfare of the mind. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You just look at this. We are humans, but we don't wage war as human beings do. Now, in the battle of the mind, you cannot use the weapons ordinary people use. You are not ordinary. You have God in your life. You just look at this. The weapon of God that we use is to knock down the stronghold of human reasonings. Human thoughts, it goes back to thoughts. Reasonings are thoughts. We knock down human reasoning and to destroy false arguments, opinions, influences. You need to read the newspapers and look at the opinions of people on all kinds of issues and matters. And men's plan and their argument. A very interesting area is the area of economy. Every government struggles to make the economy better. But it seems the situation is continuous. The challenge is always continuous. Now, they have to incorporate certain principle that is of God if success is to be realized. Principles. So, Satan uses deception, to lead away multitudes into captivity. He deceives you in your mind. It gives you thoughts. It gives you human reasoning. Schools of thoughts. You have heard about them. Schools of thoughts. Let me tell you, the stronghold of captivity in people's lives is what the devil makes them believe. That's where that is the stronghold. What the devil makes them believe. Once the devil has made you believe that you cannot come out of poverty, he has finished you. Once he has made you believe that your situation is impossible, he has finished you for that time until you change your mind. Once he has deceived you that you are going to face the same situation that your people faced and never came out of, your ancestors faced and never came out of, he lies to you like that and you believe it, you are in captivity. People are arrested. Poverty is of the mind. Sickness is of the mind. Before you afflicted in the body, Your mind is prepared for it by the enemy. Praise God. And let me tell you, a man will never change his life until he has changed is the way he thinks. Until you change your mind. Until your mind is changed, you will never change. That's why sometimes programs, government sends people, officials to sensitize people about what government wants to do, to talk to them, to change their mind. To change their mind. To make them accept it, to make them participate in it. And that's what exactly God does. He uses his word to change the way you look at life, at things, at situations, so that he can work with you to change your life. The moment he has changed your mind, your breakthrough has come. You break through in your mind before you break through in the outside. Praise God. Satan uses thoughts. Human reasoning, those are strong. Human reasonings. Human arguments. We are told that we knock down strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. People will give you false arguments. They'll tell you, why do you tithe? Why do you give to church? Why do you help people so much? Why do you share? No, you see, those are spiritual laws. Spiritual. The moment you follow those spiritual, those are principles. Imagine if life was only for ourselves, for yourself. Look at what is happening in the Western world. Because now, there, people have become a god unto themselves. It is my right, myself. I do what I feel it is good to do. If I feel good about sleeping with a dog, I sleep with a dog. If I feel good about having all kind of perverse lifestyle, wickedness, assaulting children sexually. Now they're saying, let's teach our children sexual education. There's a way they put it. These people who market reproductive health, but they use that as a conduit for evil. There's nothing wrong with the reproductive health, but there are things that are put in there. Sexuality education in schools. Teach children from 5 years about sex. And some of them are now claiming that children have rights to sex from 5 years. And they're trying to push it on African government. Push it in developing nations. No. True leaders will refuse that. When I come to you and I say, give me your children to teach them, I've taken your home. I've taken your family. I've taken the future. I've taken the future of your home. If I take the right, I get the right of educating your children. And that's why I want to encourage governments all over Africa never to allow funding for curriculum development from the Western world. Never. They should fund their own development of their curriculum. Fund it themselves. They should tailor the educational system themselves. They should not allow strangers to do it. Because if strangers do it, they will steer the nation in the direction they want. It won't help us. And I thank God that people are trying to wake up now. You see? Praise God. But the biggest problem is money. Let me tell you, walking in truth, don't sell your birthright. Don't mortgage yourself because of money. We have money here. Let's change our mind and see how we can tap into what God has for us. We can tap into it. Praise God. Philosophies. Human philosophies. You know, philosophies are guiding principles for behaviors. When you have a wrong philosophy, it will guide you into a wrong way of life. So for example, if you have a philosophy that says that I do what pleases me, it's terrible. It's a terrible philosophy. I do what I want. I have a right. I saw one Muzungu lady from the Western world demonstrating, putting a big banner and said, my abortion was fabulous. You just look at that. My abortion was wonderful. How can abortion be wonderful? And they're marketing it. And let me tell you, young ladies, don't fall into that. Once blood comes into your hands, it has negative effects. Praise God. Even that abortion in your own life, it messes up your life. Please, let children suck your breast. Some women, they copy the Bazungu. They produce children and they give them bottles. They are thought systems that I want you to be aware of. Very deadly thought systems. Very deadly thought systems. And by the way, the one who made women begin to do bottle feeding was a lesbian who was heading UNICEF at a certain point. She marketed that. She used that position. You don't, because she did not have children. She does not produce children. She just one day said that women are not cows for their children to suck. And then marketed the bottle. And the bottle killed so many children in Africa because it had a lot of infection. It was not handled well. So it reduced actually the lifespans of children here in Africa until government threw it away. And they said, begin to breastfeed your children. And I thank God for that. Breastfeed your children. Now let's look at this thought system. There are four of them, but very deadly. Be careful of them. Number one is secularism. Secularism. It rejects God or religion and does not want it in schools and public life. Say, no prayer here. We are secular state. Take note of people who like saying, we are secular state. We are secular state. You don't live in a vacuum. For us, we thank God in Uganda. Yeah, we should remember that our motto says, for God and our country. Nations that don't honor God, they have big problems. It does not take long. They come to a point where they will collapse. Like in the Western world where they're trying to remove God, there's mayhem in the family. Everywhere there's chaos. In fact, they don't even understand what is hitting them. But when you stand aside like us here, we can see how their greatness is being reduced day by day. And you can see greed through them. Greed. And they tell you that, look, don't exploit your oil. Don't drill your oil because it's going to destroy the environment. And yet they took the oil. They took the oil all these years. They developed through the oil. Now they're strategizing. They say, no. These fellows, once they develop, they will no longer be our slaves. God will enable Africa to develop and other nations to develop in Jesus' name. Then pay them because you took much of the things. You are the people who degraded the environment. You are the people who destroyed the ozone layer with your industries. Then transfer some of those wealth to the, if you don't want us to mine ours, give us the money. Pay us for destroying our environment. Praise God. The second point, number B, is pluralism. Pluralism is a belief that there's more than one way in life. You do what you feel it is good. You do what you feel. What you feel it is good for you do it. There are many ways to God. Different gods. There are many ways in life. That thought system, be very careful about it. There are not many ways. There's one way. There's one way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Some of those big preachers in the Western world who have turned into motivational speakers, if you hear the statement, it will shock you. Some of them are even Pentecostals, but they moved away from God. And yet the Lord made it so clear, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say ways. Only one way to God. But if you find a Christian leader who does not acknowledge that there's only one way to God, and that is through Christ, through faith in Him, then you know that something has gone wrong. Number C, humanism. In humanism, it attaches more importance to human rather than to God. It attaches more importance to human activities, scientific discoveries, technology. It puts faith in technology instead of on God. You see? That's what God complained again and again in the Bible, that they have trusted in the works of their hands. Praise God. And number D is anti-Christian cultural belief. There's a global culture that's emerging, trained, engineered from the Western world, originated from the Western world, where people are turning to all sorts of things. Because you see now, the Christian belief teaches us the way to go. It's so clear on the way of life. But people who want to live a rebellious lifestyle, lawless lifestyle, they go against the teaching. That's why they begin to fight Christianity. Their anti-Christian belief. Why? Because the teaching of Christianity is so clear. It is so clear on the way we should live, on morality. Those who want to live immoral lives, they will not be comfortable where that teaching is advanced, where the gospel is preached, where the good news is preached. And yet, let me tell you, they say that out of 21 civilizations that have come, many of them, a big number, almost all of them, fell at the point their society has been corrupted. The immorality has gone to its highest point. That's when the system collapses. All of them fell when corruption reached the climax. Then they fell under the weight of evil. They came down. Praise God. It will continue like that because you reap what you sow. And let our people be very careful all over the continent and all over the world. People should be very careful. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. And I want to show you the reason why. The reason why people are held in bondage, in captivity, through their minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. The gods of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You just look at that. So the devil blinds the mind of people for them not to see the way out so that they can have a breakthrough. But I want to tell you, you just look at this statement here. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The gospel, the good news. When Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom, the Bible says he came in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And in verse number 15, Mark 1, 15, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The government of God, the rule of God is at hand. It's within your reach. Repent. That is, change your mind. Change your mind about the way you have been looking at life. Looking at things. Looking at that situation. Change your mind and believe the gospel. And believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Change your mind and believe the gospel. What is that gospel? The good news. God has good news for you concerning your finances. He has good news for you concerning your family. He has good news for you concerning your marriage. He has good news for you concerning your business. He has good news for you concerning your life in every area. Now, give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Now, let me tell you, that is where many people fail. They fail to believe the good news. They fail to focus on the good news. The good news that gives them healing and deliverance. The good news that keeps them in good health. They fail to focus on it. The good news. And that's why, as I said, let your mind stay on him. He will keep in perfect peace. Him whose mind has stayed on him. He keeps you in peace. Why? You are focusing on the good news. When you focus on the good news, you actualize it. You realize it in your life. It happens in your life. Praise God. Now, number three, the last one. If you want to experience your breakthrough, not only should you trust in God and win the battle of the mind, but also the most important thing is focus on what God says. Focus on what He says. Because Him and His word are the same. He's the same as His word. And that's why he named His son Jesus the Word. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was created through Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came and became Jesus. Praise God. You can imagine, He calls His son the Word. So focus on the Word. The Word of God and Him is the same. Praise God. Now, I want us to look at this. Let's look at two examples. In the area of Eleth, and also in the area of life generally, and the area of economy. Let's look at those two examples. Now, just look at this message here from Matthew. Matthew 8, verse number 16 to 17. New Living Translation says this. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the devils, the evil spirits, with a simple command, and He healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Praise God. Say, He healed all the sick. He healed all the sick. He healed all the sick. Now, at that time, Jesus healed all the sick. And remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. So, what He did in the past, He can still do now. Praise God. So, He has never changed. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. He has never changed. Praise God. Say, He healed all the sick. Now, verse 7, it says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Just look at that. Isaiah spoke about it, that a person will come who will be nailed on the cross. That person, his mission is to take away our sicknesses, to take it up and put it on his own body on the cross, to take it up. So, Jesus' death on the cross addresses the issue of your health and your healing. And not only that, in fact, your total life is covered there. But I'm just giving you one of the examples. Now, when this now sickness has come, there are two things here. He took up our sicknesses and removed our diseases. You just say, He removed my diseases. Say, He removed my diseases. Say, He removed my diseases. He took up my sicknesses and removed my diseases. Praise God. He took up my sicknesses and removed my diseases. So, you can always say a short prayer based on that passage. Say, He took up my sickness. Infirmities. Our translation says infirmities. Sicknesses are maladies or illnesses that has no pathogen behind it. There's no bacteria, there's no germ. You see, that is really causing it. Sometimes if you look at high blood pressure, you look at allergies, you look at sometimes diabetes, some kind of diabetes, you know, apart from the one that you eat yourself into it, you know. You see, we have to also take care, because that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us. You know, there are things which are nice, but also you need to have a break. Imagine a car without a break. What will happen? So, self-control. The Holy Spirit was given us to help us to control our lives in every area. Praise God. There are some people who eat until the body complains and say, no, I'm too heavy to work. I'm too heavy to function. Praise God. So that one, you ask God to give you the grace. One time God told a preacher and said, there's nothing I can do for you, my son. As long as you are not going to control your mouth, there's nothing. He was praying for healing. And God spoke to him very clearly. I want to tell you, that man cut over 10 kilos from his life. Up to today, he's preaching. And he's a small-bodied man now. But he was really heavy. Praise God. So that is it. He took up my sicknesses and removed my diseases. Diseases, sometimes we know the cause. He removed my diseases. Took up my sickness and removed my diseases. Whether it is the devil bring it, whether it is a lifestyle, you have just, you can deal with it. There are diseases that God can remove, which the medical has failed to do it. There are illnesses that can go. There are sicknesses that can go. So sometimes people don't just feel well. They have done everything. They live right. They eat right. Still the sicknesses come. And once they come, declare it. Focus on the word. Focus on what he says. You see, why the promises of God don't work for other people is they don't focus on it. Oh my, this thing, will it really go? This thing is going to kill me. This thing is going to kill me. No, they keep looking at that. No, he took up my sickness and removed my diseases. You wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, because you took away my sicknesses and removed my diseases. You touch that area. Lord, I thank you because you removed my sicknesses and you removed my disease. You took up my sicknesses. You took up my sicknesses and removed my diseases. Afternoon, the same thing. Evening, the same thing. The next day, the same thing. Because sometimes, some of you are so faithful in the tablets the doctor gave you. They say, wake at midnight and take one. And then this time you take one. And you wake and you take. You take also the word of God like that. Praise God. Take the word of God like that. Focus on it. It releases faith and power. It releases faith and power. And that's how the body recovers and pushes out whatever was trying to harm you. Whatever infirmity was there, whatever sickness was there, that is how the word of God works in healing people and keeping them healthy. You feel some sharp pain in your heart. He said, he took up my sicknesses and removed my diseases. You say, if the devil who even tries to bring some of these sicknesses, the spirit of infirmity, the moment you say that, sir, this one has known. Let's try it after 3 months. Again they come, you say it. This one has discovered. Let's wait when he's rich or when she's rich. We will try to see. You know, some people don't know how to handle resources. They can really use resources to destroy themselves. You know, if you are they can have whatever they want. No, you don't need to have whatever you want. What you want, you will go back to those people there. You just look at how young people are eating chips. Even too much milk is deadly. You don't have to take milk. Some people take milk like water. They leave away water. They leave water. They put milk in the fridge. If they feel thirsty, milk, milk. Yes, God has given a land flowing with milk and honey, but you also have to do it moderately. Take it moderately. Praise God. Balance your diet. Praise God. But oil is needed, but if you take oil all the time, what is the result? Sugar is needed, but if you take too much sugar, what is the result? Praise God. So that is it. You focus on the word, you get your breakthrough. You focus on the word, you get your breakthrough. Praise God. A time comes actually when you believe God for your healing and it happens. Sometimes you even don't know how the sickness has vanished from your life. How the problem has gone. Sometimes something happens and the miracle you're waiting for manifests. That's how we manifest the miracles of God. That's how we move from glory to glory. That's how we break through. We focus on what he says. Praise God. Now let's end with this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse number 9. And I'm reading it from Message Bible because it puts it very well. I want you to know that there's an exchange that took place on the cross. An exchange took place on the cross. And you have to realize that that exchange that took place on the cross was instant. There was a change that took place instantly. When Christ died. When he died, that was the ultimate price for our salvation. Praise God. Now just look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse number 9. You are familiar with the generosity of our master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. You just look at that. In one stroke. You see, on the cross, something happened. Christ became poor, and grace, who is inside Christ now, became rich. You'll meet some people who will say, oh, but that is spiritual poverty. The moment, that is where you get them. The moment you say that was spiritual, spiritual riches. There, the Bible is talking of spiritual riches. It may be, it is true, of course, but not limited to spiritual riches. The moment you say that is, it was talking of spiritual riches, then you are also saying that he became poor, and that one also became spiritual poverty. Automatically. That's what it means. You also turn that poverty there into spiritual what? Poverty. For you to know that it's not really talking about spiritual riches. The only time Jesus, you think Jesus was spiritually poor? Was Jesus spiritually poor? Never. Never. He did not even sin once. He was not spiritually poor. So this cannot be spiritual poverty. Neither can this be spiritual riches. It's not spiritual riches. Spiritual riches are addressed in other places. But it shows you that God addressed the issue of poverty on the cross. Addressed the issue of poverty. He became poor because that was the time that he did not even have a cloth now. It was removed from him. He had only a loincloth. They gambled away his clothes. They removed his robe. They took away everything from him. He was completely naked. The poorest point in his life. Look, from the street of gold. With nobody. Nothing. Imagine he was walking the street of gold. You look at the glory of heaven. He left that glory and came here into poverty. Born into poverty. So an exchange took place. He substituted you. He exchanged the glory. He made it possible. His glory with you. He made it possible for you to have all the resources you need for rolling out the vision that he has put in your heart. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. The moment you say no, he became poor in order to make me rich. I'm rich. Christ made me rich on the cross. Christ became poor for my sake. He made me rich. He made me rich. God, I'm rich already. Open my eyes to see. How can I tap into that well? Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Give me the wisdom. God will begin to open your eyes. God will begin to give you understanding. God will begin to make you see where your gold mine is. God will be able to make you see what you can do. God will make the gifting inside you come out. Praise God. Amen. God will make you begin to see what you can do, what you can provide in order to earn. Praise God. The kind of work he has called you to, the gifting he has put inside you. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, everybody has a gift. Some people say, oh, I have nothing, but God gave you a very good smile, which you can use to market services. If he makes you, gives you that smile, and he gives you a heart to deal in something, and then you use it, people will come and buy from you. Praise God. Some of you, God gave you a gift of quietness. You don't talk much. But you can concentrate on your word and make money. On your work and make money. And people will hire you and say, no, this man concentrate. This lady concentrates. I will use this lady here. Praise God. I mean, there's nobody who does not have a gift. Praise God. You just need to focus. You tell God that you made me rich. I cannot stay like this. This is not accepted. I cannot fail to have money. You made me rich. I cannot fail to have land, a business, a job. What can bring me income? What to do? I cannot fail. You keep speaking that until God opens your understanding and gives you, you learn many things, especially understanding, wisdom, and revelation. Wisdom. Because once you have understanding, you begin to see how. Understanding comes from God. How you can do things that will profit you, that will be a blessing to others. How? How you can do it. But after you focus on the word. Because once you focus on God's word, God now begins to do his part. Because now your mind is changed. You have refused poverty. Let me tell you, the devil will tell you that poverty is okay. The poor go to heaven. And once you do that, you will live a contradictory life. Your life will be contradicting. You are saying poverty is okay, yet you need the money. Yet the children are asking you for bread in the morning. Some people are loaded. Let me tell you, church, we better be very careful of what the Lord told me here some years back. Some years back, after it was on the 31st. It was on the fast. On the fast, I remember, the first of the year. Some years back. He told me that there are billionaires seated in this church like paupers. There are billionaires seated here like paupers. Raise them for me. Can you imagine? Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. For me, I've decided to go back to that word very seriously. In other words, he was telling me, say, look, people here who are very rich, but they're seated in a, they're infested with poverty. Get them out. How? Teach them what I have already done for them. Let them know what I offer them. My offer. My offer is in the good news. I have a better life for them. That is why we have there. We are trillionaires for Christ. Amen. Praise God. Say, I'm a billionaire for Christ. Say, we are trillionaires for Christ. We are trillionaires for kingdom agenda. We are trillionaires to make our lives better. To make our communities better. To make our nation better. To make Africa better. To make the world better. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Just lift up your hands and talk to him. Thank him. Thank him for your breakthrough. Thank him. Say, Lord, I've decided to trust you. I've decided to trust you. I've known the tricks of the devil. I'm not going to fall to that trick. I'll not succumb to those reasonings. I will take what you say in your word. Declare your breakthrough. Even those who are watching online, declare your breakthrough. Declare it. Declare it. Declare your breakthrough. Declare it in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. Father, even as a minister, we thank you for your breakthrough for us. For a breakthrough, even for those who are watching online. May they experience a breakthrough in that area of their lives that they need one. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise.